Blog Talk Radio.
What happens when you mix the corporate achievements of two successful businessmen with a unique community conscience? You get two compassionate professionals who empower leadership in every walk of life that they go in. They're dads. They are community leaders. And they were both honored at a recent gala hosted by the Home for Little Wanderers, the nation's oldest and one of New England's largest nonprofit child and family services agencies. Rick Laughlin is president of Caldwell Banker Residential Brokerage, New England. Steve Pemberton is the vice president and chief diversity officer of Walgreens and a former foster child. Both are my special Father's Day guests on Focus on Empowerment. This is Carol Copeland Thomas. Hope you enjoy today's show. Hello, this is Carol Copeland Thomas. It is a lovely, lovely day. I hope it is great where you happen to be if you're listening live or if you're listening with our archived version. I'm so glad that you're here today, and I'm excited about our guests. We have two wonderful interviews that I'm going to play representing men. This is Father's Day Part 2 for me. We started off last week with Jerome Farquharson and his new book, Playtime to Bedtime, My Son-in-Law, and now we're switching gears and having two more men, business professionals, very successful, but also showing the positive side of fatherhood. You're going to hear enough bad stuff in the news between now and Father's Day and certainly afterward in terms of what men aren't doing. We want to highlight the successful men and in one case how he's turned his tragic, very suffering, pain-filled childhood into a real triumphant life, and that's Steve Pemberton. I'm also excited because the Bruins have come through 39 years later and won the Stanley Cup. I'm here in Boston, so I have to root for the hometown team, even though I started off in Detroit with a Red Wings loyalty factor in my bloodstream. But now I've been in Boston for 30-plus years, so I am a Bruins fan, and congratulations to the Boston Bruins. Great game. Seven games played finally in Vancouver. The score 4-0. Tim Thomas, no relation to me, but also from Michigan, was the goalie and also the most valuable player. And so we're very excited about that win. Also excited because this weekend is Father's Day, and we are hoping that wherever you happen to be, you're going to have a wonderful, wonderful Father's Day. Well, what's the origin of Father's Day, first of all? Well, there's two different versions. I'm going to give you both. The one I am most familiar with goes back to the Civil War, conceived slightly more than a century ago by Sonona Dodd of Spokane, Washington. And while she listened to a Mother's Day sermon in 1909, she really thought about her own father, William Smart, who was a widowed Civil War veteran who was left to raise six children on a farm. And today in June was chosen for the first Father's Day celebration 101 years ago, June 19th, 1910, proclaimed by Spokane's mayor because it was the month of Smart's birth. And the first presidential proclamation honoring fathers was issued in 1966 when President Lyndon Johnson designed the third Sunday in June as Father's Day. Father's Day has been celebrated annually since 1972. That's across the country, across the United States, when President Richard Nixon signed the public law that made it permanent. And then there's another version, because obviously with these kind of holidays, one person doesn't corner the market on the concept and the idea. Typically, there are several people in different parts of the world or in parts of the region that come up with the reasons for commemorating this. So another version talks about Father's Day from this perspective, observed actually taking place in Fairmont, West Virginia, on July 5th, 1908. This particular version was organized by Mrs. Grace Golden Clayton, who wanted to celebrate the lives of the 210 fathers who had been lost in a mining disaster several months earlier in West Virginia on December 6th, 1907. And it's possible that Clayton was influenced by the first celebration of Mother's Day the same year, just a few miles away. Again, people having similar ideas and thoughts, so I'm sure that these two women at some point put in all their information and the commemoration started in their respective regions of the country, and then ultimately many years later, as of 1972, with Nixon's proclamation, voila, we have Father's Day. Well, there are 70 million fathers across the United States and 25.3 million who are at least part of the married coupled families with children younger than 18 in 2010. You can really get lots of good information from census.gov because every major holiday in the United States, they make a point to give you some statistical information about it. I think one of the most interesting things, since I'm a global diversity professional, is the fact that Father's Day is really recognized and celebrated all over the world. The third Sunday of June, it's also celebrated in the United Kingdom, in Afghanistan, in the Bahamas, in Bahrain, in Cuba, in Ireland. Many countries are going to celebrate this wonderful day. Romania, the second Sunday in May was the day for Father's Day. In Russia, February 23rd, and the third Sunday in May in Tonga. So, again, you can just take your pick. Typically, again, because the world is flat, you can go to a respective part of the world, and the holidays and the celebrations are very, very similar. Well, I'm excited because a few weeks ago I had an opportunity to be a part of the Home for Little Wanderers, a very large and, again, the oldest nonprofit organization in the United States of its kind, and they are about taking care of children and families. And they're also about honoring those warriors, those professionals who walk with them to do this very important work. And Coldwell Banker, very large organization, has Rick Laughlin as their president of the Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage of New England, and he oversees the day-to-day sales and operations of more than 4,000 sales associates and employees in the 90 Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage's offices in Maine, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, and Massachusetts. I've known him for a while. In fact, when he was an executive with the DeWolf Companies, and I'll talk about this in the interview, I was the diversity professional that was brought in to do training with all of the DeWolf real estate agents, and had a chance to meet Rick then, and now I have a chance to reconnect with him under this wonderful celebration that took place with the Home. He was honored, and we're going to play a really terrific interview with Rick Laughlin. So sit back and enjoy Rick Laughlin, the president of Coldwell Banker. I am delighted to interview the president of Coldwell Banker, New England, Rick Laughlin. I am also glad to reconnect with him, having known him in a past life. So, Rick, thank you very much, and welcome to the show.
Great, thanks. Nice to see you again, Carol.
In the world of real estate and certainly community development, community giving, where is the intersection from your perspective?
Well, as a company, we have been involved with many charitable organizations for a number of years, and I think it's one of these things that our sales associates really enjoy getting behind, helping people that don't have the same things they do. Real estate is a local business, and it really is developed from the local community and our people getting involved at the local level, and they really enjoy it. And we have, as much as there's a lot of pain in the economy, I think our associates really enjoy getting involved and in helping people that are less fortunate.
Speaking of the economy, we know how things were 3 or 4 years ago. I was just reminiscing about 2008, the good old days, 2007. Where are we now in terms of residential real estate 2011, Rick?
Well, we're seeing some recovery, but I think, until we see job recovery and, people have some consumer confidence that real estate is still a solid investment, we're still poking along. We've seen very good buyer activity this spring. So we're optimistic. We're comparing against tax credit numbers of a year ago. Those will disappear shortly, so we'll really see if real estate will stand on its own. But all in all, I think we've seen some good spring activity. Not what we had hoped, but better than what we saw several months ago.
compared to the rest of the country, and this will actually air in other parts of the country, how are we doing here in New England compared to other states and other regions?
The interesting thing, I was looking at some figures today. The interesting thing we have is our prices seem to have stabilized compared to the rest of the country. Our average selling price in the four states that I have is up 4 or 5% year over year. So when you read reports where prices may continue to, you know, go down in other parts of the country, we haven't seen that in New England. And part of that is, I think, because our prices are a little higher than the average around the country, we've seen some solid price stability versus other parts of the country. And I think that gives people some better confidence that our real estate is a great investment.
Tell us about your relationship with the Home for Little Wanderers, and we're certainly glad to honor you. I'm sure that they are excited about honoring you tonight for the great work that you have done. And talk to us about the relationship you have with them.
Well, it's a long-standing relationship. I think it started over 15 years ago when I was with the DeWolf Companies. We partnered with the Home for Little Wanderers, and when we merged, DeWolf and Hunterman merged in 2002, we continued that relationship under the Coldwell Banker Cares program, and it's just something that we really enjoy doing. It's a great situation for us. We sponsor the golf tournament. We help them with their toy drive in the winter. And it's just been a phenomenal relationship, and our people have really just joined around helping the people at the home.
I remember the relationship with your former company and the great success that you had in terms of the relationship, so it's great to see that it's continued. What do you see on the horizon in terms of Coldwell Banker and the Home for Little Wanderers and other organizations like the Home?
Well, as I'll say tonight, you know, even though the economy has been challenging and tough, our sales associates have continued to step up, and our goal is certainly to continue to help the less fortunate.
I also realize that in these kind of economies, great entrepreneurs are born. Is that the same way in real estate? Do you see some real up-and-coming rising stars in real estate who can look at an economy and look at the bright side beyond it?
Yes, we have. As you can probably tell, I've been in the business a while, over 38 years, so we're always looking for newer talent. We have a lot of great young sales associates and managers that we're hoping that will continue to carry the torch forward for Coldwell Banker, and not only real estate, but in giving back to the communities.
Great. I thank you so much for this interview. And any closing words, any kind of words of wisdom or encouragement for those who are going to listen to this program, and maybe they're thinking about the world of real estate, but not just real estate, how they can give back to the community?
Well, I think real estate will always be a solid investment. You need food, clothing, and shelter are the staples of the economy. So real estate, as challenging as it is right now, I think is always a strong investment. And people need to be involved in their communities, not only on the political side, but on the giving side, just helping work with their communities to make them better.
Rick Laughlin, thank you so much for being my guest on the program, and congratulations for the award that you're going to receive tonight here at the Home for Little Wanderers Awards Banquet.
Thank you. I'm humbled by the award, but it's a great team award where I get to go up there and accept it, but there's a lot of people who have worked very hard to achieve this.
Thank you. All right.
Ah, terrific person, Rick Laughlin, who is the president of Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage in New England, and a great dad, too, because his daughter runs the foundation for the company, and so I love to see that tag team taking place, the leadership started by the dad and following through with his daughter. Really operating in tough times because the housing market, as we all know, wherever you happen to be, is not what it was like 2 or 3 years ago. So to move forward and to keep your company going forward, and most importantly, to continue to support nonprofit organizations and worthy causes like the Home for Little Wanderers says an awful lot for Rick and his leadership as well. We actually interviewed Joan Wallace Benjamin, who was the president of the Home for Little Wanderers, back in February 24th of this year. So you can stay on the Blog Talk webpage, my particular webpage, go back into the archive section and listen to the interview with Joan. She also is a tremendous leader and is doing some great things with the Home for Little Wanderers. Well, part of what the home does is it takes care of and it supports children. They actually have a new program set up for children who are aging out of foster care. And Steve Pemberton knows something about foster care. I had a chance to meet him a couple of years ago when he was the vice president and chief diversity officer for Monster.com. He also has an entrepreneurial background as well. He was an entrepreneur for a little bit. But I didn't know when I met him then and didn't realize until he became the keynote speaker at my multicultural conference back in 2009. I didn't realize what a powerful story he has and the difficulties that he has overcome. As a ward of the state, he was a part of the foster care system as a child. He is biracial. His mom was white. His dad was a black fighter in the New Bedford, Massachusetts area. He only lived with his mother until he was about 3 years old and then taken away and went through a series of foster care experiences which weren't pleasant. And he overcame all that and had a chance to win a scholarship and go to Boston College and just became a very successful businessman in his own right. And he's now written a book on his experience that's going to come out in February of next year. We are definitely going to have him back on the show when that book comes out in February. But again, I'm looking at his attitude, his spirit, his cooperative nature, his leadership, and his supportive nature, certainly from the point of view of him being an entrepreneur at one point in time, but then supporting entrepreneurs like me and my business. He has moved on, and he's now the regional vice president and chief diversity officer for Walgreens, the large drug company that has drug stores all over the United States. And so let's hear his remarks and the comments that Steve Pemberton has to say. And again, he went on and gave actually a speech, which we're going to ultimately put on our YouTube channel, so we'll alert you to that. We are actually revamping our website as we speak, and one of my websites will launch in about a week or so, and then the Multicultural Symposium Series website will launch shortly after that. So we have lots more footage. We have video footage that we'll share with you. We have a video footage of my interview with Rick Laughlin, and all that will be on the websites, and we will definitely share that with you. But the fun thing with this interview that's coming up is I had a chance not just to interview Steve, but to meet and interview his wonderful wife and his beautiful children. Tanya Pemberton is his lovely wife, and his children include Kennedy, his beautiful daughter, and sons Quinn and Vaughn. So you're going to hear from the entire Pemberton family, which doesn't always happen with these kind of interviews, but I'm excited because we have had a chance to not only meet them, and again, you'll see them on the webpage with the Blog Talk webpage, and we'll repeat the information with our websites. So let's listen to Steve Pemberton.
Thank you all so much. I'm excited because I have most of the family here, the Pemberton family, Steve, and Steve will introduce the rest of the family members to us.
This is my wonderful wife, Tanya, our oldest son, Quinn, next in line, Vaughn, and our late arrival, Kennedy.
Wonderful. I just want to ask, start off with Tanya. What's the journey been for you in terms of the experience of obviously being your own woman, but also having a remarkable husband and raising wonderful children in a very multicultural world that we live in?
Well, Carol, it's been a wonderful journey sharing my life with Steve. We are very blessed. I'm blessed to have him in my life as my husband and the father of my children. He's a wonderful man, very dynamic. He's had a very inspiring and he has a very inspiring story, he's just a wonderful friend, a wonderful partner to share my life with.
Great. And for the kids, how's it been for you to have a wonderful mom and dad? Dad now in Chicago or the Illinois area, and you're going to be moving out there pretty soon. What about it, Miss Kennedy?
I'm gonna miss Bellingham a lot and my friends, and I have some nice brothers and my mommy and dad.
Wonderful. Okay, and Quinn?
I think I'm very blessed to live with my family, and I will always remember this moment for the rest of my life.
All right. Excellent. And give me your name again. This is...
Vaughn.
Vaughn. Okay, Vaughn.
I'm happy and sad that we're moving. I'm sad because I'm going to miss all my friends. And I'm happy because Chicago is a great city.
Great, great. Well, now we've heard from these members of the Pemberton family. Now we're going to hear from Steve. Steve, I mean, I respect you a lot because you have such a varied background. Obviously, your personal background is a very compelling story, but also you've been an entrepreneur. You have that under your wing. I'm an entrepreneur, but you've taken that spirit into the corporate environment, which is a huge benefit for people like me in the space of being an entrepreneur. What's it like, from your perspective, being in the world of multicultural issues, dealing with the day-to-day activities that you have and trying to make a difference within corporate America?
Well, it's exciting because we're in the midst of a paradigm shift. The demography and the attitudes of the country are changing. We're maturing as a country as well, which is exciting. It's very, I think, inspirational for us as a generation to be leaders, to not get held hostage by differences, realize that we're not a melting pot, but a semblance of a lot of different cultures and attitudes and perspectives where every voice has an opportunity to be heard. And that does mature us as a country, I think, but at the same time, it sets a vision for future generations as well. The time that we are currently in is unique in our generation that others did not necessarily have but fought hard for us to have, so we have to be good stewards of it.
And going forward, you have a book coming out, I believe, in February. We were just amazed with your speech. I've heard the speech before, but my goodness, it gets even more compelling with each time that you tell it. What's it like for you telling your story over and over again in the midst of, very influential people, not only here, but also in the other cities where you've told it?
Well, there's a perspective or a belief that says once someone has reached a certain degree of influence, titles and the like, that those things should be kept at bay and you ought not to share. But there's a hard truth, Carol, which is that there are children who are mired in the same circumstances and situations that me and my siblings were. And there are people who are touched by what you see and say to them, by what they see in you and what you say to them in turn. And at the same time, I want it to be clear, and I've made this clear in the book, that this does end well. Our focus, both for me as a person, as our family, has been not on the tragedy, because none of us have cornered the market on difficulty. But I do think the triumph matters more. And it's how you know, what journeys did you take? This is not necessarily about what you look like, because one of the things I hope I got across tonight was you really do not know someone's journey simply by looking at them. It has nothing to do with their gender or race or religion. We all have a story of some sort. And it's important to tell that story because you never really do know who you touch. Tonight I had two families say that they were now going to adopt the foster child. And you couldn't have anticipated something like that.
Those are really game changers, and as you say, the paradigm is really shifting quite a bit. Tanya, in closing, any remarks that you want to make as your journey goes forward as the mother of the crew and certainly the wife of Steve and a woman in your own right?
Well, you know, I think that acts of kindness go a long way, and Steve's story, one thing that's really important when I think about his story is the small acts of kindness that people did for him that made a world of a difference. So even though something may not mean much to you, it means the world to someone else. So whatever you can do, be it donate your time, money, or, you know, just doing something to put a smile on a child's face goes a long way.
Thank you all so much. The Pemberton family, and I've seen the extended family, congratulations for your award tonight and also for everything that you have done and what you're going to do going forward, Steve.
Thank you, Carol. Thank you so much.
I just think he's a terrific person. I've enjoyed just having both interviews on today, both with Rick Laughlin and certainly Steve Pemberton, obviously in different industries, walking different paths, but coming together as men, as fathers, as leaders, as community advisors, as philanthropic leaders as well, and sort of really setting the example that fathers should set. So I've really enjoyed these last 2 weeks with three different examples of really good fathers who are doing tremendous work in our communities and, most importantly, at home. I look at Steve, and again, his life could have been very different. He could have been a very different, angry, bitter man, and he's not. He sought out his family members, particularly those who, for whatever reason, had disconnected with him. He changed his name, and all that's going to be in the book. It is a very compelling story. But most importantly, he is setting the example for his own children. His kids are delightful. They're just beautiful kids. Setting the example for them, working hand-in-hand with his wife, and furthering the cause of diversity, inclusion, and multicultural issues. That, for me, really says it all, and that, to me, is why he's a very, very special person. I hope that you have learned something. I celebrate the work that the Home for Little Wanderers is doing. I celebrate the work of all of these wonderful nonprofit organizations, NGOs, the work that they're doing, the tireless work that they're doing, the amount of money that it takes to keep all of these organizations going, large and small. The Home is very large. The Home for Little Wanderers is very large. They operate all over the state of Massachusetts. They raised about $1 million the night that I had an opportunity to interview both Rick and Steve, but they need that money to run these programs where they're physically housing many families and many, many children who would not have another place to go or sleep had it not been for the Home. The Home is just a delightful place. Again, it goes back about 200 years, and they're just doing work that is very, very important. The Home for Little Wanderers is to ensure the healthy behavioral, emotional, social, and educational development and physical well-being of children and families living in at-risk circumstances. Again, it is the oldest home, and you can go to their website, www.thehome.org, to find out more information, www.thehome.org, to find out more information. Give us a call or send me an email if you have fathers, if you have mothers, if you have champions of the community, if you have individuals who we need to know about and we need to do a shout-out on our program focused on empowerment. I am always looking for those unusually gifted, pioneering, spirited folks who overcome obstacles and difficulties to move forward, not just for themselves, but they do it for themselves, their families, and other people. So you can always reach me at tellcarole, T-E-L-L-C-A-R-O-L-E, at mac.com, or you can give me a call at 508-947-5755. Again, we will be relaunching our websites, finally, hooray, in the coming days. Our two websites are www.msssconnect.com, and the other website is www.tellcarole.com. That's TELLCAROLE.com. They're going to be fully interactive, very multimedia friendly. Yeah, I'm just excited about what you're going to see on the website. Capture this. I'm excited because I have 64 different programs here on Blog Talk. So I encourage you to go back and look at some of the previous programs. We first started off with an hour-long format, and then they got shorter by a half an hour, so now they're a 30-minute format that started in January. But some fascinating, very interesting people that I think you can learn from, and I'm just finding just going back and listening to some of our just give you a new perspective. You say, I never thought about that, or I didn't realize that information was valuable to me. So we encourage you to go back to our archives and listen to your heart's content 24/7 on demand. That's the world that we live in. And we hope that you'll have a wonderful Father's Day, a wonderful week. Thank you so much. Definitely come back the next week when we'll have other fascinating guests. This is Carol Copeland Thomas signing off. And empowerment begins when you believe in yourself.